We're working our way through barriers, and barriers of just walking in faith. And when I say walking in faith, I mean living the Spirit-filled life. That's really what it's about. I mean to walk so close that you don't feel any distance from the Lord. You just feel you're as tight as ever, and that He's as real and as close, and you sense Him, you hear His voice, and it's not a psychotic moment by any means. But that He is real, and He's not out on vacation. And so we've been talking about various barriers, and the one that we're talking about today is about serving one another. And living the Spirit-filled life means that we have to have a return to serving one another. And so I'm going to explain a little bit about what I mean when I say return to serving one another. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to bless both His Word and the proclamation of it. Father, You alone are God, and we serve no one but You. We rejoice to be together. We rejoice to be Your adopted sons and daughters. We rejoice that Christ is our head, and pray that You would speak to us. And Lord, if there is something we have yet to learn about serving one another, that You would reveal to each one exactly what that is. We thank You for Your Word and for Your Spirit that gives us guidance. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, you might be thinking, service to one another, is it really important? Well, we know that Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and He taught them to do the same. And that while most people feel that the one sitting at the table is the greatest, Jesus said, I'm here as one who serves, and I want to tell you that it is not the greatest one that's sitting at the table, it's the one who does the serving. And so we've talked about on numerous occasions how the Lord took, you know, really what is the world model of leadership, and that is kind of a pyramid type of leadership. The leader is on the top, and he's telling everybody else what to do. And then, you know, you kind of trickle down a few more until you get to the bottom, and it's all the masses, right? Well, the Lord took it pyramid and infused it with His Spirit. And I mean the whole of humanity, you know, and those that will follow Him, and turned it over and says, if you're going to be great in My kingdom, you're going to be the one at the very bottom. And everybody else is to be thought of as greater than yourself. Now that is the farthest thing from what we are taught today. We are taught this 10 steps to realization of just how important you are to the world, right? I mean, you can go through all these things about, you know, realizing your potential, your power, you know, this and that and the other. And the Lord says the way to realize your potentiality is by realizing your humility. And that is, you are to consider yourself the least of these. And whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, that is, and I'm talking about society as a whole, that is not what you're taught. You are taught that, hey, you don't tell me what to do. Do you know who I am? We hear that all the time, don't we? I'm not your slave. I'm not your this. I'm not your that. And the Lord taught us that we are to serve one another. And in serving, what are we talking about? Well, our first passage that we find is going to be in Luke 10:25. And you can follow along there. I'm going to be pretty much just retelling it. But there's a religious leader that comes along. And he says, what do I need to do to live forever? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked him. He said, you know, what do the Scriptures say? Well, the man said, and we mentioned that this morning, Kenneth had a direct line into my sermon notes as he was talking about this. He said, well, you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you're right. Well, he then in turn around and asked him, you know, who's my neighbor? Because he wanted to justify himself, the religious leader. Not Jesus, but the religious leader. And so Jesus told a parable about a man who was traveling and he fell among thieves. They beat him, took everything he had, even his clothes, really, just half naked, lying there. Along come some religious leaders. They go out of their way to avoid the man. They don't want to touch him. They've got, you know, important things to be doing. So they go around him. And I say that facetiously. Then along comes a man who's considered to be repugnant by Jews. He's a half-breed. When the Syrians conquered Israel in the north, he's what's left over, intermarried with pagans, and he is just refuse to the Jews. And he has compassion on the man. He takes him. He pours oil and wine on the wounds to clean him up. He even wraps him in bandages, puts him on his own beast of burden, and takes him to an inn. And there at the inn, he says, listen, Mr. Keeper, here's some money. And whatever else, you know, that this man might cost you, you don't put it on his bill, you put it on mine. And when I come back here next time, I'm going to pay it. And Jesus looked at the man and said, who was a neighbor to the man who fell among thieves? And the expert in the law just simply said, well, it was him who showed compassion. And he said, yeah, you're right. Go and show the same kind of compassion that the man in the story did. Serving those in need. And that's ultimately what we're talking about. Need. But it's not just a physical need. We talked about this also in Sunday school. There are spiritual needs that we are to be about serving. We know it, we've talked about it, that God gives the gifts of the Spirit for the equipping of the saints, right? The apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists, all of these are to build people up. But it's not just those particular gifts, we're all to be doing this. And we found that in Ephesians 4, 28 and 29 this morning. And it says, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for hard work and then give generously to others in need. So what God says is you have a need, go out and work for your need. And then he says, so that you can what? Build up and have everything stored up in barns? So that you can help someone else who doesn't have it. Now, does that mean to make them a dependent? No. It means you help them so that they can in turn learn to work hard with their hands and can help somebody else. That's the purpose. That's what it means to be a disciple. Now, he goes on. Let everything you... Well, let's back up. Help generously to others. Give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Now, we're talking about physical needs. But then he says, let everything you say, be good and helpful. So we can help people with our tongues. Oh yeah, what we say can be very helpful. And that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, that is not just a, you know, hey, great job, when it wasn't a good job. That's not the encouraging word that someone needs to hear. And you say, wait a minute, now Daniel, rebuke is not encouragement. Oh yes, it is. Because Proverbs says, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but the rebuke of a friend, now that's to be cherished. You know, really, because think about today how many people are giving us deceitful kisses just to get us to do what they want us to do. But if you remember back to when you were a young person, a child, I can point to a few rebukes in my life. Probably if I sat around and thought about it, a lot more than I would care to share with you on any given day. But I do remember one particular rebuke that was particularly hard for me that day. It embarrassed me. But it's one of those rebukes that is precious to me now. Because I know that the person that gave it to me loved me beyond anything. And so it's not just helping those in need, but also in you working from the perspective to meet needs of others. And you also what you say. Now in Matthew chapter 25, we find in verse 31 through 46 these words. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will gather before Him. He will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep and the goats. Now, one of the barriers we're going to be coming up against here in a matter of weeks will be the return of King Jesus. And I don't mean the return of King Jesus, but I mean as we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we begin to think about Jesus as a king when He comes and He sits in judgment. That's what kings do. And I get tired and irritated when I walk among Catholic artwork and European artwork. And you say, why, Daniel? Because you don't like Catholics? No, I love Catholics very, very dearly. Disagree with them on some principles. But I don't worship any of those images of Jesus because they're not my Jesus. My Jesus is alive and in heaven. But they always make Him look anemic and a wimp. Jesus was a carpenter. Now, if you work any type of physical labor, you're not going to look like a wimp. And you're not going to look like anemic. He didn't have any major, hydraulic systems to move lumber. It was this, you know. Joseph, his system of moving stuff was, hey, Jesus. Right? Yeah, I'm telling you. That's the way that is. So King Jesus, He will set the sheep on His right, the goats on His left. The King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these My brethren, you did it to Me. You serve others so that you can indeed give to them, so that you can indeed encourage them, so that you can indeed equip them. But you give to others because it is giving to Jesus. It is meeting His needs. You see, He left us on the earth, and He knows exactly what our resources are. And folks, if we'd rather have fancy clothes, and we'd rather have, you know, the cable TV with all these channels, and if we're spending every penny we've got on things and have nothing left over to help those around us in need, the Lord knows what we really needed. So we're going to be without excuse. And so what He's saying to you, I have provided to you these things so that you can then in turn do it to the least of these, which is what I consider, King Jesus says, doing it to Me. Think about that. The King who knows everything. So if you have two of something, He says what? Give one away to someone in need. Very interesting. So, to the least of these, serving. Now, He says in Acts chapter 20, verse 33 to 35, this is Paul speaking, "I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions." Very interesting. Paul looked at his companions as if they were his family. And so he and his companions were there working, supplying their own needs. Because he didn't want to be a burden to them, but he also was setting the example. So in other words, in terms of serving those immediately around us, you know, I don't think we feed everybody every day. I don't think there's any way to do that. But those around us, we do. And he says, "In everything I did," this is Paul, "I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. And you help the weak by providing for yourself and those around you, serving them. But you're serving those who are off away from you because you're not a burden to them. You have what you need." And you see what he said to start with, "I've not coveted anyone's silver or gold." Paul saying to them, "I'm content with what my hands can do for me." That's what we need to be. We need to be content with what our hands do for us. Some, their hands are going to provide great riches. And there's nothing wrong with that. And the Lord says what? "To whom much is given, much is required." Speaking about teaching, and that's also about resources. If somebody's stingy, God's going to hold them accountable for that. He'll do it. But He'll hold just as much accountable the person that's got two tunics and keeps both when somebody in need is right next to him. I'm just saying. It's a fact. God doesn't look at it and say, "Well, you know, you only had two tunics and he had ten, and this person came across you and you kept your two tunics because you were thinking the whole time, well, he's got ten over there, you need to go see him." Well, the Lord says to us that we're to serve each other. And it's an example. It helps the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus Himself said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." This used to be a part of our character in our society. It did. And it needs to be in faith, because it does really bless us when we give something. And do we not honor the widow who was in line to give at the temple, and she put in less than a penny? You know, the image of the religious leaders and the wealthy coming up and taking their gold coins one at a time in those big brass pots or whatever they were. Bing, bing, bing. So everybody'd know, boy, look, old George over there, he's giving a lot today, man. He really, boy, look at that. Bing, bing. Whole lines backed up back there because, boy, he's showing everybody what he's getting. Right? What he's done. And the little widow walks up and she puts something in that doesn't even make a noise. And Jesus said, "I tell you that this woman gave more than all these other people combined." So what? King Jesus then penetrates right into our heart. He knows what our resources are. He knows. He knows. And he says, "I want you to give because it's more blessed to give than receive." Now, He gets tough because it goes on beyond serving just those in need, and it goes on beyond just what our resources are, because he says in Luke 6:27, beginning there through 36, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Oh, now wait a minute. Jesus is going to get after me on who hates me and who's my enemy? Yes, he does. He does. Because remember, Jesus wants us to be like Him. And when He hung on the cross, His enemy was all of mankind. And that included all of us. All of us. And you say, "Wait a minute, I wasn't born yet, so I wasn't included." Yes, you were, or salvation wouldn't be yours today. Right? We were all included. or it would have stopped right there from the cross on back. But it didn't. So when Jesus looked out and He was put on that cross, He was put on there for all of our sins. That means me, that means you, that means everybody that's ever lived or will live. And knowing that, what the Lord said was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, He says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And for him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Golden rule. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive back as much. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is also merciful. So service even extends to our enemies. Serving one another. It comes into the church. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to liberty. You were called to be free. We're free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping the one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. That's Galatians 5. I told you, He turned the idea of greatness on its head. You know, in Mark 10, James and John came up and they said, Lord, we want to ask something from you and we want you to give it to us. And He said, ask. And He said, we want to sit one on your right and one on your left. He said, well, what you're asking for, you really don't understand, but it's not mine to give. Can you drink from the same cup? Can you receive the same baptism? They said, yes, Lord, we can. He said, you're right, you can. But these are not mine to give. And the other disciples heard about this and they got upset. The reason why they got upset is because they wanted those spots. It wasn't because they were spiritual. They were thinking, what? They asked for our spots? No, not these two guys. Nah. Well, they were indignant, it said, about these two. And Jesus said for them not to be like those who were regarded as rulers of the Gentiles. Because they lorded it over them. They lorded it over them. And their high officials exercise authority. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. Whoa, wait a minute. Jesus calls us to be slaves? Willing slaves, but yeah. Yeah. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give His life as a ransom for many. That is what our service does. We are showing that we are indebted to Jesus. And because we are indebted to Jesus, Paul said what? I am a debtor to everyone for the sake of the gospel. And that's why we have to serve one another. That's why we need to return to this. Well, Philippians 2, beginning in verse 1, says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests. That's service. but each of you to the interests of the others. We've talked about husband and wives, and boy, that's where it talks about being in submission one to the other. It's not about lording it over. I'm in charge. Be quiet, right? Or no, you're not. I'm in the 21st century, right? I've got the right to vote since 1920. Whatever else you want to say. The reality is we are to be in submission to one another, serving the other. In other words, you are more important than I am. And when two people in a marriage look at it from that perspective, wow. Wow. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 10 says this. Let this motivate your sense of service. The end of all things is near. It's near. Therefore be alert and sober, of sober mind that you may pray. We talked about that this morning. Praying makes a difference. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Amen, doesn't it? Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. There's a form of service. We used to be so hospitable in the South. We used to show up in homes unannounced. And I think what Glenn often says is true. You show up unannounced at people's homes today, you're likely to get your feelings hurt because they won't even open the door for you. Not everybody, but more so, isn't it? People just busy and they don't take time. But we're not to be that way. I like what my friend says, and I think it's true. I was apologizing for being a nuisance and inconvenience to him one day, and he said, Daniel, he said, you don't understand what the term friend means. He said, friendship with me comes with this guarantee. You have the right to inconvenience me and incommodate me at any time without being considered an inconvenience or a nuisance or an accommodating. I think that's beautiful. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Use whatever gift God has given you to serve each other. And you know what? It begins with you and me. It begins with you and me. We have to serve each other. And when we start submitting to each other, I mean, we're down at the bottom and we start really thinking about people as more important than ourselves. We begin to start thinking like Jesus. I mean, I just can't imagine giving up a throne, emptying myself of my glory, coming down to this old sorry world just because my dad said, please, go do this if you want to. I mean, God didn't, the Father didn't force Jesus. But you see, Jesus, even though he was equal to the Father, he didn't think equality something to be attained. So he put on the form of a servant. He submitted himself to the Father's authority. And he says to us, submit one to another. Serve each other because I have served you. And that's removing of the barrier that will allow us to fulfill the hopes and dreams and needs of the other around us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. And just pray that, Lord, we would become servants who bear fruit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.